Chapter 64. Theron. Theron gasped. The inhale was sharp. A familiar wave of ice coursed through his body. Peering out through swollen eyes, he watched as Rhea worked her hands across another deep laceration. She angled downward from his lower chest, sliding her fingers across his ribcage, halfway to his navel. The skin rewove, and the pain in his chest dulled, leaving only the intense throbbing in his fingers. One by one, she pulled the thick wedges out from under what remained of Theron's mutilated fingernails. Cheeks had spent a remarkable amount of time tapping them in. Theron had passed out more than once, only to be revived for another round. With the last of the small shards being removed, and Rhea completing her healing of the damaged tips, Theron relaxed. He took a slow breath in through his nose and exhaled the same way. The intense throbbing lingered as nothing more than a distant memory in the back of his mind, taunting him with the assurance it would soon return. He found, in a perverse sort of way, that he almost looked forward to his sessions with the Inquisitor, as it meant having a few moments of Rhea's soft hands across his aching body. After his little talk with the Arch-Chancellor down in the Chambers of Purging, Theron knew his time was running out. He could only pray Asriel's vision had been accurate. He still had reservations concerning the man's gifts as a seer, but when left with literally no other option, he had to act on what information was available. Rhea opened her eyes after finishing. In them, Theron saw a sense of hopeless longing, a desire to have someone, anyone, reach out and show her the smallest amount of human compassion. There was also something else hidden there. Shame. She held his gaze a moment longer, her blood-stained hands resting gently on his bare chest. He only hoped she couldn't feel the racing of his heart under her touch. Theron twisted in his restraints.
Thank you.
She quickly retracted her arm and glanced back down at the stone tiling. Her dark brown hair hung in strands to block her face.
No need to thank me.
Cheeks called out from across the room. His back was to Theron as he fumbled through his bag of utensils.
What should we try next? Ah, here we go.
The Inquisitor turned and held out a hammer in one hand and a long nail in the other. Theron tensed. He knew what was coming.
Now, where were we? Oh, right. Your little wielder friends in Rohan. I want the names of those on the council.
What council?
Don't play coy with me, Smith. A city the size of Rowan would have a wielder council. I want their names.
The Inquisitor stepped up to the rack and pressed the tip of the nail against the back of Theron's hand, just behind the center knuckle. Beads of sweat dotted Theron's forehead as his breathing came in rapid succession. He remembered how painful this was the last time it had been done to him. He couldn't quite remember, though, how long it had been. Was it last week? Or the week before? Or yesterday? His sense of time within the White Tower seemed to be non-existent as the days blurred together. He couldn't remember one day from the next. He wasn't sure how long it had been since his capture. Had it been days? Weeks? Months? It felt more like years.
I don't have any friends in Rowan, he lied. I don't know of any wielder council. How many times do I need to tell you that before you believe me?
The Inquisitor shrugged.
Oh, I guess the same as last time. Just one more.
His words were punctuated by the ringing sound of metal striking metal. Pain flooded Ferron's entire hand and spread out from there. He didn't dare look down. He already knew what he would see, and the visual would only make it worse. Closing his eyes, he took a deep breath and tried focusing his mind on something else, anything else. He tried thinking about Rhea, about what it must be like for her to spend every day watching this, over and over and over again. He felt an overwhelming surge of pity, followed by an overwhelming surge of panic when something sharp pressed against the back of his other hand. His defenses were beginning to break.
"Please, you don't have to do this. I've told you everything I know."
"And yet, I don't believe you."
Whack! Another strike of the hammer sent Ferron's left side into convulsions. Tears swelled his eyes and coursed down his cheeks, mixing with the fluids already leaking from his nose.
"Please," he hollered, "I can't take any more."
"Good, that's good, because I don't want to have to do it any more."
The bald sadist raised an arm and tenderly stroked the side of Ferron's face.
"I get no pleasure in seeing you suffer, Smith. The sooner you tell me what I want to know, the sooner I can let Rhea here heal those wounds, and you can get a good night's sleep."
He watched Ferron for an answer.
"What do you say?"
Ferron struggled to keep breathing. He could hear Cheeks over at his table, no doubt grabbing the next nail. Through his tears, Ferron could see Rhea in the corner with her head lowered. The Inquisitor returned to the rack with a smug look. It read of a man who had yet another card he had not played. A man who held a winning hand and knew it. It was disconcerting.
"So, where shall we start, With your friends?"
Cheeks glared.
"No, perhaps not."
He tapped the head of the long nail against his chin in thought.
"How about family?"
The Inquisitor's mouth twisted upwards, and his eyes widened with anticipation.
"How about a sister?"
Ferron's breath caught in his throat. How could he possibly know about... He almost raised his head, giving away his panic, but then thought better of it as he realized the Inquisitor was more than likely just probing for an answer. Ferron turned his head slightly, and his eyes locked on Rhea's. The guilt he saw in those pale green orbs told him everything he needed to know. She couldn't seem to pull away, her hands clinging to the front of her dirty dress. She had sold him out to the Inquisitor. She had betrayed him. Worse, she had betrayed his sister, his innocent Mariah. He couldn't believe it. He could see tears in her eyes before she lowered her head. Ferron was raging. He was furious with the little healer for what she had done, but even more so, he was furious with himself for having given away the information. It was his own stupidity that had led to this. It would have been better to have let them kill him when he first arrived. The Inquisitor glanced over his shoulder.
"Yes, my dear Rhea is quite the treasure, isn't she?"
Cheeks wore his proud look like a leper's rags, trying to cover what was truly inside, but failing miserably.
"You know what?"
he offered.
"I'm feeling a mite generous today. So I think I'll let you just sit and ponder our little conversation. Let you roll around in that stubborn head of yours all the wonderful new experiences I can introduce your sister to once we bring her in."
Ferron jerked against his shackles, but like every other time, they didn't budge. His eyes burned with hatred as he met the blue irises of the tattooed inquisitor.
You go near my sister, and I promise you, transferal or not, I will chase you all the way to the pits of Erin Gaul, into the arms of the Defiler himself if I have to. There is nowhere you will be able to hide from me.
Cheeks lifted himself onto the base of the rack and looked Ferron in the eyes. With one hand, he reached out and pinched Ferron's cheek.
You're so cute when you're angry.
Holding his sides, he laughed his way off the rack and back over to his bag of tools.
Finish up with our smith, my dear,
Cheeks said, as he waddled his way to the door.
And since we are through for the night, I want to see you in my chambers later on.
Rhea's fingers tightened even harder on her skirt. His words left no doubt as to what he had in mind. The very thought was repulsive. As despicable as it was, though, Perrin knew this was the opportunity he had been waiting for. She was through for the night, which meant the Inquisitor would have no further need for her transferal, and, with what possibly awaited her later that evening, Ferron hoped it would leave her a bit more agreeable to the notion. One of the guards in the hallway shut the creaking door behind the fat man and snapped the lock back into place, leaving him completely alone with the one person who had betrayed everything he held dear in this world. It took a while for Rhea to move. Ferron watched as she crossed the room, not daring to raise her head, not daring to look him in the eyes. Standing to the side, she reached out and grabbed hold of the first nail. The pain was intense, but the thought of what she had done hurt even worse.
Why did you do it?
When she didn't reply, he added,
I would have thought you of all people would be the last person to want to do this.
She held to her silence as she unfolded his hand gently in hers and sent a wave of healing through it. It was somehow calming. Ferron was at a loss. He snorted his frustration.
I guess I was wrong. I guess you are one of them.
She glanced his way for the briefest of moments before stepping over to the other side of the rack. As fleeting as the glance had been, he had seen remorse in her eyes. Or maybe it was hurt. Either way, Ferron didn't believe, or at least he didn't want to believe, she had been a willing participant. Maybe they hadn't given her a choice. Maybe she was being used as much as he was. He shook his head. Leaning back against the bed of the rack, he closed his eyes.
Just let me die.
The words left his lips before he had time to stop them. Her hand faltered halfway through pulling the remaining nail. She was trembling. He opened his eyes and was surprised to find her staring back, eyes filled with tears. In that moment, he almost felt sorry for her, a difficult emotion to embrace after what she had done.
I don't want you to die.
He lifted his head from where it rested on the metal bars. He was stunned by her open admittance, but at the same time he noticed that her words sounded forced, as if not quite sure of her own belief in their accuracy. She gave one final tug, and the rest of the nails slid through. He clenched his teeth. He could feel the warmth of the blood dripping from his fingertips. The soft splatter it made on the stones below was a sound he had grown quite accustomed to. She cupped his hand in hers and softly applied her magic. The lavender glow emitting from her fingertips was beautiful, as was the relief it brought.
I have a daughter, she said,
as if that somehow excused the fact she had sold his sister out to the Inquisition. Instead of berating her, though, He let her finish. She's four. She was born here, like me, like my mother before me. Born here? The time he had spent in the White Tower was bad enough, let alone the time Azrael had spent. But he couldn't imagine having been born and raised into a life such as this. He wondered if she had ever been outside.
When my grandmother's gift of healing was discovered, and the Inquisitors saw the value in its use, they decided to try making more of us. After I was born, and my abilities became apparent, they thought they had found a way to keep an ongoing supply of healers around.
He could hear the utter contempt in her voice.
So, eventually, I was forced to give birth to my Suri.
Farron wasn't sure how to respond. His anger had begun to subside, but it still didn't absolve her of what she had done. He didn't know if he could ever forgive her. Unfortunately, she was still his best chance of getting out of there. He had to be willing to put his anger aside, if for no other reason than to get his sister to safety. Knowing Cheeks, he already had men on the way to find her.
Why didn't you touch me?
Farron nearly choked. What? He wasn't sure he had heard her correctly. His mind conjured images of their previous encounter, when she had tried to remove her clothes and seduce him. It was an image he would like to forget. It had obviously been a ruse to extract information from him, but the question still remained as to why it would matter to her now.
Why didn't you lie with me?
Farron was sure his face was as red as a beet. Had this woman been so abused that she had no idea what common decency was?
I told you why the last time.
She glanced down at the front of her dress.
Do you not like what you see? Is my shape not pleasing?
Farron's eyes widened. He couldn't tell if she was trying to proposition him again, or if she was honestly curious about his lack of physical aggressiveness.
No. I mean, yes. I mean, look, you are very pleasing, but that doesn't give me the right to, you know, act on it and such.
Why not? All the rest of your kind does.
My kind? Yes, your kind.
Her temper rose.
What, the prisoners? No, men.
Farron laid his head back against the rack. He could see his hope of escape slipping through his grasp. She wasn't going to help him. She hated him. Not because he'd wronged her, but because he reminded her of what had been done to her. Now that he thought about it, he didn't remember seeing many other women around, and with the Inquisitors and the Black Watch being the only example of men she'd ever known, it was no wonder she harbored the thoughts she did. Still, this was his only chance. He had to try.
I have no idea what it's been like for you living in a place like this. The horrors you've seen, the atrocities that have been done to you.
He paused to take a breath.
I can't imagine, and quite honestly, I don't want to.
But you've got to understand, we aren't all like that. Men are supposed to protect women, to stand up for them, to help them, not use them like chattel. Where I'm from, if a man did what's been done to you, he'd be locked up or horsewhipped, and that's only if her kinfolk didn't get to him first.
She watched him in silence. He could see that behind her scowl she was weighing his words and expressions, trying to see the deception behind his statements.
I don't believe you. I'm sorry for my part in what's been done about your sister, but I have to worry about my Suri. She's all I've got, and they won't let me see her unless I help them get what they want. She's just a little girl.
The tears started down her dimpled cheeks. Baron took a deep breath. What could he say to that? Would he have been willing to do the same if it had been his sister they were threatening? He guessed he might. I understand that you love your daughter, and don't want her to have to live through what you have been made to endure. You want to save her the same way I want to save my sister. Rhea's eyes reflected his sentiments. Lucky for us both, I might just be able to offer a solution. What if I told you there was a way we might be able to save both of them? Rhea didn't speak, but the desperation in her eyes said enough. The catch is, you're going to have to trust me. Theron's eyes lowered to where her small crystal hung from its tarnished chain between her breasts. I'm going to need to borrow that.